#1 sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
On the nighttime
it's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, sometimes a team or an individual just has your number, and there's really nothing else you can do. There's nothing you can do. You know, when I was growing up, my brother was a pretty good tennis player. He wasn't like a state champion or anything, but he was a pretty good tennis player. And when you grow up, you don't think, especially siblings, that your brother or sister is that much better than you. You know they might be pretty good at something, but you don't think they're that much better than you. And I would play my brother in tennis all the time, and he was more gifted at it than I was, and he beat me every single time. And eventually, as I got older, I realized that I just did not have the skill set to beat him any day of the week. And I wonder if that's how some of the Cleveland Cavaliers must be feeling about losing to the Golden State Warriors again. Is this NBA Finals is now about very, very close to turning into a laugher. Something I did not think we were going to get. I thought we were going to get an all-time classic. I kind of still hope we will. But in order to do that, Cleveland has to find a way to beat a team that's slaughtering them off the court 4 out of the next 5, or at least 3 to get this to a game 7. And I don't know if they can do that. Not after today. You got to respond in game 2. I don't care what happened in game 1. Any team has to be able to respond in some capacity. And LeBron, for his whole career, has been able to do that. He's been able to get that game 2 victory. But not tonight. Golden State wins 110-77. They held the Cleveland Cavaliers to 33 points in the second half. LeBron sat out the entire fourth quarter. This was a rout. It got away early. It never came back. There was no patented Cleveland run that got them back into the game, that gave them a lead the third quarter like we saw in game 1, where then they squandered it. They were blown out of Oracle tonight. Blown out of Oracle. And now they go back to Cleveland trying to figure out if anything is going to work against Golden State. And to be honest with you, that's where I, as a fan, I don't want to be in this series. I don't want one of these teams to be so demoralized and beat up in an NBA Finals with the talent that the Cavaliers have, with the amount of rest that the Cavaliers have had coming into this series. And now they're going back to Cleveland wondering, what the heck do we have to do? Can we do anything? And like when I played my brother, I tried everything, not realizing that in the end, he was just better at it than I was. He was quicker. He was always going to be quicker. He was leaner. He was always going to be leaner. And unless he was sick with the flu with 115 fever, I stood no chance. The Cavaliers have got to try to find something that they're better at than Golden State, and I don't know if they've got it. See, Oklahoma City in that series had rebounding, had size. They went with that until Golden State figured it out late in the series and was able to win 3 in a row. Are the Cavaliers, do they have any sort of genie in the bottle? Because if they do, it's time to come out now. Is it LeBron having to go crazy LeBron? I don't think that's going to work. What if you slog this one out so that it's a boring 78-76 kind of game? Maybe you get more physical. I don't know. It seemed pretty physical enough. Throw out anything you can, because the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to need your help, because they don't know what to do next. And that's going to make it worse for us, as we may be having a 4-game sweep. If we don't get a 4-game sweep, we might get a 5-game series, because I always trust a team to pour everything out on a court, everything they possibly can, and steal a game. But it doesn't mean they're going to steal 2. And it certainly doesn't mean they're going to take 3. No, this series, which had dynamic written all over it, which had historic written all over it, is being transformed right in front of our eyes. And here's the fun part. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are on vacation. I mean, they combined for 35 points, sure. But those guys can get 35 points on their own. They had 20 in game one, relatively all right. Steph Curry had foul trouble, for crying out loud. Only played 25 minutes. This is a series that's getting away from Cleveland in the most bizarre way. There's something you, like, oh yeah, Curry and Thompson, they'll be all right. They're not going to be explosive. We're not going to have that moment where Curry pours in 40 and we're just sit back in an awe of everything that he does. Same with Thompson. It's not going to be an, it's, it has, we haven't had a series where Klay Thompson dumps in 9 3-pointers or 10 3-pointers en route to a 38-point night. We haven't seen that yet. Draymond Green had 28 points. Andre Iguodala continues to play fantastic defense. The whole team's playing good defense. They're getting good contributions from their bench. Everyone's contributing. They're getting, Cleveland is getting beat from all sides. Everybody that wears a Warriors uniform is beating them in some capacity. So how do you stop it? And I wonder, as we continue through the night tonight, and we got a lot to get to with the death of Muhammad Ali. We're going to get into that too. But I wonder for LeBron James, is this a level of frustration that is weighing on him? Because he's going to have to amass every single ounce of professionalism in him to not let this affect him. This has to drive him crazy. You know, it's funny. Phil Mickelson, on the golf side of things, Phil Mickelson, people who have always joked about Mickelson that he was born at the wrong time, that in any other era, he could have been a real legit Grand Slam champion. But he happened to have his peak during the Tiger Woods era, where the focus of the golf world was on Tiger Woods, and Mickelson got a handful of majors, but in the end, Tiger dominated the sport. LeBron still has this presence in the NBA, but he keeps running into teams in the finals, whether it's San Antonio and now Golden State, that are just having their big moment. When he went to Cleveland in 2014 and was orchestrating this idea of how I want this team to look, he had no idea that Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were about ready to dominate the NBA. He saw a Western Conference where, all right, maybe it's Oklahoma City, maybe it's the Clippers. San Antonio is getting a little older, but they're still threatening. But in the end, I think if I put the team together right, I should be okay to win a title. And what does he run into in the last 2 years? One of the greatest NBA teams we've seen in a while. A team that is, if they win this, is going to go in the history books as one of the greatest teams ever. He just happens to catch it at this time. He goes back to Cleveland and he happens to catch this machine as it's rolling through the league. It's got to weigh on him in a most daunting way. Where you just like, my God, if this team wasn't in my sights, I could give this city a title. He's going to lose again in the NBA Finals, again for that city. This is going to be number three that city is going to be feeling with LeBron James, a guy they couldn't wait to bring into the city, a guy who changed the city. The economic impact of the city was about LeBron James, and he's trying to win a title, but instead, what does he do? He runs into this basketball team that doesn't even beat him with their stars shining. How frustrating is that? 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. Jeremy Wu, SI.com, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get his take on all this because I'm perplexed. I really am. Listen, I sit back and I get ready for my Sunday night. I get my show ready to go. I'm going to sit back and watch this game too. I'm bored. I'm walking away. I'm doing other things. I'm finding out through Twitter what in the heck happened on Game of Thrones. That's not the way I want my NBA Finals night. I don't want to be out of this thing in the third quarter. And I was out of this thing by the third quarter. Jerry West thinking criticism of LeBron's final record is ridiculous because he didn't have a very good finals record either, but he's still the logo. Does he have a legit point, or have we advanced beyond that? Also, we're going to get your thoughts as well, and I'll take it anytime tonight, anytime, your thoughts on Muhammad Ali. Whether you watched him fight, whether you heard about him fighting, the impact of him not only as an athlete, but as an agent of change in not only the sports landscape, but the political landscape, the societal landscape. Muhammad Ali, much larger than being a boxer. We're going to get into his legacy all night tonight. We are also, again, with the NBA Finals. How good is Golden State? Jeremy Wu coming up in 20 minutes, but coming up next, Jerry West has some interesting thoughts on LeBron's finals record. But have we moved past the idea that it's okay just to be there in the first place? LeBron's got to get a title. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Yes, Saturday with the news of Muhammad Ali passing. It was, for me, it was a sad feeling. And I am a very, my age group that I'm in, I was born in the 70s. I grew up in the 80s. Muhammad Ali's last fight was in 81. The only thing that I knew about Muhammad Ali growing up was everything that my father would say about him. Like everything that my father and his friends would say about him. And of course, just the overall legend of Muhammad Ali that permeated in my life as a kid growing up wanting to follow sports. I didn't have to be a part of the Thrilla in Manila. I didn't have to be a part of the Rumble in the Jungle. I didn't have to see those as a kid to know as I was growing up that Muhammad Ali was one of the most important athletes of my time. Yeah, even as a 9-year-old kid, even as a 10-year-old kid. Even after his final fight, his presence was still well known. I mean, you could be born in 82. And by the time you reached the age of 10, you knew Muhammad Ali was single-handedly one of the most important athletes on the face of the earth. He still was a towering figure. So when he died on Saturday, it was sad because knowing what I know, as I grew up, and you study sports, and then you can study social impact with sports. And that's the one thing I took a class in this in college, and it was how sports and society come together, right? It was this really good class because we talked about Jackie Robinson, but we also talked about boxing. We also talked about Muhammad Ali. We talked about how racial strife and sports came together, how women and men with sports came together in Title IX and all that stuff. So it was all like social angles. And Muhammad Ali was at the forefront of this class because of everything that he meant in the 1960s and how divisive people were about Muhammad Ali. And that's the thing that I miss about athletes and their role in the world. And that's the thing I wish more athletes would do. And here's the thing. I actually wouldn't care what an athlete stood for. I'd like to see more athletes stand up for what they believe in. But we live in a different age. And I don't know, and this is one question I want to ask tonight, if we can have a Muhammad Ali again. And I don't mean the brashness. I don't mean the trash talking that he did, sort of the way he marketed himself and promoted himself as the greatest of all time and how that turned people off, but yet he could back it up. Not that. The idea that a man in his 20s, at the prime of his career, could have his sport taken away from him over an ideal and him not relinquishing that ideal, even if to get back his sport. Muhammad Ali did not go to the Vietnam War and lost 3.5 years of his boxing career because of it. From the ages of 25 to 29. He did not participate in the sport. Imagine that on any athlete's resume. Imagine that on LeBron's resume or Kobe's resume or Derek Jeter's resume. From 25 to 29, you're out of your sport and you have to come back to it and you have to regain what you lost when a title was stripped. And he got it back. He was a 3-time heavyweight champion. He participated in one of the more legendary fights in sports history that carried more weight than somebody winning a belt. But here's my problem. I was born in the wrong time to tell you about Muhammad Ali. Because I can't tell you the personal feelings that I had when I watched him fight Joe Frazier. At a time where Joe Frazier winning meant one thing to society and Muhammad Ali winning meant another thing to society. I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is the people that were there and what they felt. And how you would have an idea of how things ought to be. Whether it was a war, whether it was about racial issues, whether it was about anything that was going on in the country. And those two fighters represent the exact opposite. And you pulled for one because it not only meant you were pulling for him to win, but also your ideas to win. And we don't have that anymore. We don't have that anymore. We have replaced that with the political field, where people jump on a political candidate, not necessarily based on issues, but based on whether they would just win, so they can be associated with winning. Muhammad Ali at the 1996 Olympic Games was a beloved human being. As he stood up there with that torch and he was shaking, there was this outpouring of world sympathy and a world adoration for Muhammad Ali. That has not always been the case. He was one of the most divisive athletes because he stood for something. And when you stand for something, and I don't care what that is, when you stand for something, there are going to be people who are going to be against you. That's why athletes today rarely stand for anything. And when they do, we wonder why. When an Arian Foster says, "I'm an atheist," people go, "Why would he say that?" When athletes speak out on political issues, why would they do that? When you are strapped to a $200 million sneaker deal, you have to be careful about your image. And I don't care who you are. Tiger Woods' father made huge headlines back in the mid-90s when he talked about his son impacting the world. Why did he say that? Muhammad Ali. Earl Woods knew it could happen. The people who didn't grow up or did not feel that significance or did not remember that significance thought Earl Woods was crazy. His son can't change the world. He's just a golfer. But people who knew Muhammad Ali knew better than that. He was just a boxer. And yet he was the most recognizable face on the planet. And he was the most recognizable face on the planet without one internet ring. There was no shorter world. There was no smaller world. We weren't all connected. We weren't all together. Things didn't go viral. There was no way an African village or a tent in the desert or somebody in Siberia or somebody in the Amazon could know who Muhammad Ali was unless he was significant to the world. And he was. So Earl Woods knew that it could happen because he had seen it before. But Tiger didn't follow suit. And I don't want to criticize Tiger for it. He has his reasons for why he didn't speak out on anything that he believed in or wanted to elicit change. But I can tell you, my guess is that Woods, like other athletes, was bound to the idea of, I'm a salesman. I play and I sell. I sell myself and I sell the goods that people pay me to sell. Whether it's Nike golf equipment or Under Armour shoes or what Nike or anything else. And Ali knew that money could trap you like that. So he lost 3.5 years of his prime for a cause. Whether you believed in that or not believed in it, whether you hated him for it or agreed with him, it's amazing that he was able to do that. That's one of the legacies of Muhammad Ali. We'll talk NBA next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. We continue to look at the NBA Finals, game number two. And as I've been saying all night, I'm perplexed by this in a way. I know Golden State is great. I know they got the 73 wins, but with Cleveland coming in healthy, I didn't think we would get these two games that we've gotten in this series. Help me break this down. Jeremy Wu joins us from SI.com to chat NBA Finals. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well.
All right, so like I said earlier, I'm a little surprised by this. This is a 2-0 lead now for Golden State in dominating fashion without Thompson and Curry doing what they normally do. Defensively tonight, Golden State was outstanding. What are they doing right against Cleveland to sort of get these two games in blowout fashion?
Yeah, well, you know, coming into the series, I mean, I think that there was a distinct, I think, advantage in terms of personnel. You know, for the Warriors, but not only that, you know, they match up really well, but also just that they have the confidence. You know, they've beaten this team. I mean, now I think it's six times in a row. You know, but it's just like, I don't know if it's even they're really doing any one thing, but I think it's just that they come in that much better. You know, they outplayed them in game one. I think tonight game two was a little bit of that, but also a little bit of Cleveland just not being there. You know, they just kind of rolled over. I think you can chalk some of game two up to, you know, not a lot of adjustments being made in Cleveland. But on the other hand, like at some point, you know, I'm not really sure what they can do. You know, they don't have a lot of defensive combinations, and it's very tough to see them digging out of this hole.
Is this a mismatch problem? I mean, in the end, is Cleveland just not matching up well against Golden State on paper, and then that translates to what's on the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issue, and this is sort of how I was looking at it, is just like, you know, defensively, you know, the Cavaliers don't really have one reliable combination they can go to, you know, especially when the Warriors go small, right? And if you put LeBron at center, you know, then you're saying, you know, we're not going to play our bigs. But then you're leaning on, you know, J.R. Smith to make a lot of shots. You're leaning on Richard Jefferson now, but also you're leaning on those guys to defend. And, you know, in some series, I think that might work. But against, you know, 73-win team, you know, the best shooting team ever, like, I don't know if that's a solution. Like, it feels kind of helpless almost for them. And, it's, you know, some people are going to say, well, why doesn't LeBron do more? But, I mean, you're asking LeBron, as good as he is, you know, he's against a team this good. You know, it's just like, what can he do to some extent?
Yeah, and for the Golden State Warriors, in a sense, look, I know Curry and Thompson combined for 35, but those guys can get that on their own. Without those two guys, how are they – are you surprised by their ability to get production from so many other guys?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the mark, you know, of just of a great team. I mean, you know, having guys, you know, being able to step up in those spots, you know, I mean, obviously it was a long season for them, but, you know, they think about how many games they won, think about how many different ways they had to win, you know, different situations they've been in, last year's playoffs, and then even, you know, looking back at, you know, the Western Conference Finals, you know, they went to the fire last series, and I think, you know, that will probably be the peak of the playoffs that we get is that series. And I'm not saying Cleveland won't win one. You know, I think I can see them pulling one out at home. But you know, at first I said six, and now I think it'll probably be five. But I also don't feel good about that. I mean, I don't know what Cleveland can do differently necessarily to really dig one out. I mean, it's going to have to be something weird is going to have to happen, I think, for the series to swing.
When Golden State was playing Oklahoma City in early part of that series, not only did they look vulnerable, they looked like they were in real trouble, that they were legitimately getting beat by a team that had their number. Then they woke up. Did you notice any difference at all in how they responded to that scenario than anything that they had done all season?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know as far as over the course of the season, because the playoffs are so different. You know, winning a seven-game series is such a slog in some ways, but I think that, you know, being able to dig deep, I think, and get game five at home, you know, building that confidence up was so critical. I mean, you can look back to all the different spots they're in, you know, during the season. I mean, you know, they beat the Thunder four times, right? So, I mean, they know that's a team they can beat. I think you got to credit the Thunder a lot, you know, for the way they played in the first four games. I think a lot of it was Billy Donovan. I think he did a really good job sort of tinkering. I mean, the Warriors were, like you said, I mean, they were off. But they, again, it's just, I think that, you know, they kind of figured out what they had to do. You know, Klay Thompson, you know, carried them, you know, on his back for a lot of that series. And it was just, I think, the great players being great for them. And, you know, just it sounds kind of cliche, but it was at the right time. You know, those guys knew what they had to do and they did it.
You mentioned earlier about LeBron James needing to do more. If you're Cleveland, do you dance with what brought you here, which is, hey, LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving are a meshed unit together, and they're all doing the, you know, they're unified together? Or do you say, hey, LeBron, go LeBron on us and just go score as many as you can? Did they change dramatically for Game 3?
I mean, you know, it's tough to say, like, what adjustments you can make. I mean, I think that, you know, there are moments tonight where, you know, the only time they could really consistently get a shot was LeBron, you know, getting into the basket and doing what he does. And, you know, he's still great at that. But, I mean, the bottom line is it's not enough because they don't have, they just don't have the guys around him necessarily to hang with the Warriors. And I think a lot of it is a composure thing. I mean, you don't have a lot of guys on the Cavaliers who, I mean, obviously they were in the finals last year, but, you know, Irving's never been this deep in the playoffs. You know, Love hasn't been this deep in the playoffs. And these are guys who really are just really, if you think about it with some perspective, you know, cutting their teeth in the playoffs, those two guys particularly for the first time, you know, and it's kind of tough to make excuses for them because they were so, the team was just so bad. But I also think it comes down to makeup a little bit. And I think at some point, you know, guys are who they are. You know, I don't know that there's an adjustment you can make, like, hey, Kyrie, become past first point guard right now, or Kevin Love, you know, like, you know, rebound and play defense right now. You know, it's not going to happen overnight.
Andre Iguodala, his importance on the defensive end for Golden State, give us an idea of what that means to have him being so good on that side of the basketball.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think it was especially important tonight when you saw, you know, you saw the Cavaliers going small. You know, having a guy like Iguodala means that, you know, the Warriors can cross-match. So when the Warriors were in their smaller lineup, the Cavaliers tried to go small with LeBron at center. You know, Iguodala could still guard him. And then what that does is that frees up Draymond to be the help guy, right? So Draymond was on, who do they have in? And they had Jefferson in the game, right? And he was kind of floating the baseline. So they had, we were able to have Draymond, you know, there roving, being able to cheat and help and sort of, you know, maximize, you know, his, you know, calling shots from the back there. So I think having Iguodala, you know, as the primary defender on LeBron, obviously he did it successfully last series. And I think these two seasons are definitely a big, and a really, when we look back at his career, you know, it's just really an awesome achievement. I mean, he was plus 28 tonight and scored 7 points. So,
did you notice any frustration late in the game when LeBron was out there? Because I know they kind of went back to the bench and, you know, emptied it out at the end. Are you noticing any sense of frustration from LeBron that what can I do against this Golden State team?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know about on the bench. You know, I didn't really see that. But, I mean, when he was on the court, I mean, you could see he was frustrated at the end of the game. I mean, you know, even in the third quarter, I mean, you just kind of know which way it's going at that point. And the Cavaliers won, like, at some point, I think they had, like, a 30-9 run or something in the second quarter, I believe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he should be frustrated. You know, I don't like to read too much into the body language and such, like, and on the bench. I'm like, you know what I mean? I don't like to overplay that. But, I mean, he should be frustrated. I just don't know, you know, what it is that what the counterpunch is here for them. I mean, I think that you can look at what they did last year. I mean, they did win a game. You know, they were able to win games by grinding it out and going slow. And that's why I was confused, you know, hearing Ty Lue, you know, talk about before this game, like, he wanted to play faster. Like, I don't think they're going to beat the Warriors that way. I think it's going to have to be something like that to try to jump up the game and, you know, change the pace of the series somehow.
Yeah, that's what I was also going to get at, too. I mean, if you're Lou and you're saying, hey, look, we'll run with the Golden State Warriors, and after two games, you're probably like, maybe we shouldn't. Do you get to a point where you try to bog this down to a 75-72 kind of game?
I mean, that's what I would try to do if I were Cleveland. You know, I don't know, you know, what that looks like for them from a defensive standpoint. I mean, if Love is out, you know, that's going to change the outlook for what they can do. I mean, maybe you play Mozgov. I mean, he can't really run the floor, you know, with these guys. So, like, I'm not sure, you know, what that's going to look like necessarily, but I think if there's a way where they think they can do it and sort of replicate what they did last year. I mean, you know, I mean, Lou was on the bench with Blatt, you know, he knows they were all there. So it's just like a matter of, can they do that again? But at the same time, the Warriors are so much better than they were last year.
Yeah.
So it's not an easy answer.
Jeremy Wu, SI.com. Great talking to you as always. And I look forward to wrapping this series up with you when it's done.
All right. I'll catch you soon.
All right, again, Jeremy Wu, SI.com. Coming up next, though, Jerry West says, hey, criticizing LeBron's finals record is ridiculous. Now, Jerry West struggled in finals appearances when he played, but he still was able to be a face of the NBA. Is that day, though, over? And are we now more judging players by championship rings? Because LeBron is on the verge of losing once again in Cleveland. And also going 2-5 in the NBA Finals. We'll hear what Jerry West has to say coming up next. It's Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907.
Tony D on the first shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks to Jeremy Wu helping us break down the NBA Finals. 800-777-2907. You can also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Also, your thoughts on Muhammad Ali, whether you watched him, whether you grew up with him, or if you just remember him in any particular way, I'd love to know about it. 800-777-2907. We're talking about LeBron, and he's now down 2-0 in this series, going back to Cleveland. And listen, they always say series don't really start until both teams have played at home. I will give LeBron and the Cavaliers that. I will give them at least that space until Wednesday night when they do host game 3 at home. But I am very frustrated as a guy that's pulling for the city of Cleveland that wants to see the Cavaliers win a title. It's frustrating. These finals are not producing any sort of competitive feel to them. The Cavaliers lost by 15 points in game 1 when Klay Thompson and Steph Curry combined for 20 points. I mean, that's crazy. This was 33 tonight. 33. And Curry and Thompson combined for 35. Again, they're not getting beat when the best of Golden State is on fire. Where you could sit back and go, well, what are you going to do, right? They're getting beat by the entire team, all chipping in some capacity. Whether it's the bench pouring in a boatload of points, whether it's, you know, Sean Livingston in game 1 being the leading scorer on a Warriors team that has two of the most efficient three-point shooters in NBA history on the squad. I mean, it doesn't matter. Golden State is slapping around Cleveland. Then they're doing it any way they want to do it. Ah, you want to go up-tempo? Fine. You want us to shoot threes? Fine. You want our bench to outbeat yours? Fine. You want Andre Iguodala to frustrate LeBron James? Fine. You want us to knock Kevin Love out of the game? We'll do that too. Any way that Golden State wants to serve it up, Cleveland has to eat it. They have no answers anywhere. So if you're LeBron James, how do you continue on, hold a professional feel, and yet you know he has to be frustrated? Jerry West, who went 1-8 in his finals appearance in his career, and he became the logo, says that it's ridiculous to judge LeBron James on his finals failures. He said, quote, "That's the most ridiculous thing. If I were him, I'd probably want to strangle detractors. He carried teams on his shoulders. He's been to the finals 6 straight times. How many times has he been the favorite? None, zero. Grossly unfair to him. I don't want to sound like Donald Trump, but it's hard for me to believe someone doesn't recognize his greatness. This guy does everything, and he's competitive as hell. Frankly, I wish people would leave him alone." All of that sounds absolutely right. I mean, you can't really argue with this. 6 straight finals, we need to recognize this, especially in this modern NBA. That's very, very, very difficult to do. But when you look at it, it doesn't seem like it's ridiculous to judge LeBron a little bit on losing in the finals. Now, he showed up for the finals, except for the one he lost in 2011, where he lost to Dallas and he didn't play a very good final series against the Mavericks. He has shown up and he has carried his team. But we know how history works, don't we? Every year that passes, we lose a little more of the details, right? And that's what's going to happen.
Do you think people are actually saying LeBron's not a great player? That's where I have a problem with what Jerry West is saying.
That's a slippery slope thing. That's right. The problem with that, right? If I say, gee, I really am struggling with the fact that LeBron James is going to lose another finals. What, you don't think he's a great player? No, I didn't say he wasn't a great player. I'm just saying it's difficult. Why can't I say to him he should have more championships?
Yeah, he's obviously one of the best players to ever pick up a basketball. That's obvious when you watch him. His skill set is amazing. But when you go 2-5, you went 2-5 in the finals, and that hurts your legacy. It does.
It does hurt your legacy. It does. And look, I understand where he's coming from having gone 1-8, but he was going up against some of the best Celtics teams that ever existed in the history of the league back in the day.
Think about what we were talking about with Peyton Manning. Remember, if he would have lost this Super Bowl, what does it do to his legacy? And that was losing just, what, his third Super Bowl, going 1-3?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking 2-7. It's great he's been to that many. But it's still, I mean,
that's... Look, it took us a while. And LeBron is not in this category because he's won. But remember when the Buffalo Bills went to four straight? It did take us a while as a sporting society to go, hey, that was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Like, that was a really good accomplishment. Like, in one presidential term, the only AFC representative were the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, it may take us a while to sit back and go, wow, six straight. At this point with the Eastern Conference, he may go to more. You know, with this Cavaliers team, they're certainly not getting any heat from the East. It's when they get to the finals and the best of the West is knocking them around. We may sit back and go, yes, this was amazing, but he's keeping losing these finals. And as I said earlier tonight, he's doing it in these bizarre ways of running into the wrong team at their particular time, whether it's San Antonio twice losing to them, whether it's Golden State now, whether it was Dallas at a time where he was feeling tremendous pressure down in Miami, after he realized, oh, that decision didn't go over very well, I'm being the villain, America is rooting against me. He was still a relatively young guy. He goes down to South Florida. He does that thing where they're like, not one, not two. Not... He's in the finals. They're getting beat. He's not playing particularly well. Yeah, there is... He has had a whirlwind of things descend on him when he reaches the championship games. And so he's dealt with a lot. I got to be honest with you. I don't know how he acts as composed as he does, because I'd be losing my mind. This team is killing them. And he has no answer. Last year, it was all on him. This year, he's got the people and they're still knocking him around. They're not going to beat Golden State four times in the next five games. It is not going to happen. So Jerry West may be right on a couple of things, but get ready for another LeBron James loss in the finals, and we'll learn how to deal with it. Again, we'll continue to talk about Muhammad Ali next.